So let me ask you this. Do you ever get phone calls from people you don't know? Oh, okay. We all do that, right? So how many of you answer them now? You still do? If it comes up unknown, you answer? Okay. Why? What's that? It could be for a good warranty. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I mean, Publishers Clearinghouse may call me, right? Well, I want you to know, we live in a time where our cell phones are our phone. Does anyone have a landline anymore? Miss Sylvia does. Why? Work. Okay, fair. You have one in your home? Okay. Work line, that's true, because you don't want them calling you at home. Okay. Anybody else have a landline? You do? Oh, okay. Yeah. Isn't that a strange bit? Yeah. And it's only 10 bucks a month, but I don't want it. It's only 10 bucks a month. I don't need it, but it's only $10 a month. It's like the electric company. I had to pick, my current service plan, and they wanted to know if I wanted to pay them $10 extra a month so that all my electricity comes from renewable energy. I said, you want me to pay you $10 so that my energy comes from wind or solar? They go, yeah. I go, why don't you just do that anyway? I said, why would I pay you? Because if you're going to get it there, you're going to get it there without my 10 bucks or not, right? I said, no, I'll keep my 10 bucks, But we live in a time where our phones are are inundated with phone calls. And we don't know whether we want to accept them or to not accept them. And so I wanted to give you just a little bit of an idea. So how many robocalls or sales calls do you think were made in the year 2020? Now, this was the year of the virus, if you recall. How many do you think were made in the U.S.? I'll let you think on that just a second, because none of you are going to guess it. How about this? 45.9 billion robocalls. 45.9 billion robocalls in 2020. And you remember, we weren't working in 2020 and all these things. That roughly averages to 1,911 calls per second. That's a lot. And not all those calls are offering you a really sweet deal on renewing your service plan. Let me ask this question. How many of you know about the do not disturb setting on your phone? Yeah, if you don't utilize that, you should learn about it. It makes things a little easier. Not that, you don't want those important phone calls, but you remember what we were just saying. So let me ask this question also, just out of curiosity. And you don't have to lift your hand, but when was the last time you turned your cell phone off for any length of time? What's that? Thursday night? Okay. Between like 7:30 and 11? Oh, okay. Now, can I tell you one of the reasons I don't turn my cell phone off? Is because I have the fear of missing that phone call. Don't you? If I turn my phone off, I'm going to miss that call. Which call? That call. Well, what call? Well, the one you don't want to miss. Listen, you just turn your cell phone off for an hour and watch your stress level go through the roof. It's true. Leave your cell phone at home and drive off without it. And unless you're going to Florida, which that's where everyone seems to go, you're going to turn around and go get that bad boy. Our cell phones are the great connector to the world. They have revolutionized our lives, but they have also brought a level of great stress and consternation like never before. Life is calling, but how do we answer? How do we answer it? Can we agree that we live in uncertain times? Does anyone else feel like the world is just like a puzzle in a puzzle box? It's just chaotic. Every day there's something new and different and not necessarily entertaining. We have floods. You know, we recently had the hurricane and the floods. We have natural wildfires out in the west. The reason we're having these gorgeous sunsets is it's the smoke blowing in from the west. Did you guys know that? The haze outside, it's not Dallas smog, it's California fire, and it's blowing all the way to us. We have earthquakes. Poor Haiti has been struck. What a terrible situation. How about this? Has anyone's food service been slowed down just a scotch? I went to Sonic the other day, and they said, well, your order's going to take about 30 minutes, and I'm like, oh, uh-uh. I like Sonic, but mm-mm. But when was the last time every business in town had help wanted signs out? It's weird out there. How about this one? Geopolitics. I'll just say this. Afghanistan. Yeah, there you go. Geopolitics. It's crazy out there. And then, of course, we can't leave this off. That continues to touch our world. And it seems to have a new variant every day, doesn't it? You don't know whether it's variant or original or extra crispy, you know, skinless. We don't know. If you're like me, I'm making a little light of it, but I just don't know. I'm the guy who said, well, we'll be done with this in a couple of 3 weeks, a year and a half ago. But the coronavirus has caused our world to be different. And it is touching our community in a very painful way. Uncertainty calls us to one of two responses, to fear or to faith. You can't be living in days like we are living and not be called to either fear or faith. Now, let me ask you this. Would it be easy to fall into fear? Absolutely it would. Because we can't seem to get a direct answer that is clear and consistent and knowing whether we can trust it. We have been trained now, don't believe anything you read. Don't believe anything anyone tells you. Well, who am I supposed to believe? It is a time in human history like none other for us in our time in human history, and to fall into fear would be a very easy thing. Perhaps you've fallen into fear a little bit. But I can say for me, I choose faith. Now, not all of us who choose faith see faith in the same way. It's exercised in different ways. I can say this is, I want to remain healthy, amen? And I want the people around me to remain healthy, amen? And I want to do whatever I can to make that happen. Now, I've got my personal views, I've got my personal convictions, but I want all of us to remain healthy. And I don't care whatever your political leanings are, or I don't care whether you're a vaxxer or a non-vaxxer, I don't care. I want people to be healthy because people are dying. And I want to do what I can that I can be healthy and I can help other people be healthy. And I can do that, and it is not a conflict of my faith. So how do we create certainty in an uncertain world? Can we really have certainty? The answer is yes. Yes, you can. Well, there are three calls you want to accept. Now, I reject a lot of calls, and I got a phone call yesterday. I was here on campus, and I got a phone call, and I don't know whether he was high, crazy, or what. He called twice. And it was just, it was ridiculous. It was just an absolute ridiculous thing. And I thought to myself, why did you even answer that? I didn't recognize the number and whatever. And what's even worse is I answered it twice anyway. But I want to give to you today. Three calls that you want to accept. The first one is the call to be saved. Amen, church? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if there was ever a time that you wanted to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my friends, it's right now. You know why? Because we live in an uncertain world with uncertain outcomes. Friday, my dear brother, Buddy, came and picked me up to take me to lunch. And we're sitting at the end of the driveway here, and we're going to go across. Buddy always goes across the drive. And we missed being broadsided by 7 seconds. Now, you know whose door that broadside would have gotten? This guy. And you know how absolutely angry I would have been if it had broken my left hip. Honest to God, I was driving home with my bride, and I'm hopped up on goofballs, my leg hurts, and I thought, Lord, don't come back right now. I just got this thing fixed. But there needs to be a clear and consistent and a compassionate call to be saved. My friends, we live in uncertain days. And we as the church need to be calling people to the salvation that is offered only through faith in Jesus Christ. Unashamedly and uncompromisingly. Listen, I am saved, and I'm as sure for heaven as if I'm standing there right now. I'm just not ready to go yet. But I can tell you this, and in uncertain days, having this knowledge that I have a relationship with a loving, living God, and one day heaven makes everything different. And there's only one way that we can be saved. John 3:16 tells us this, for God so loved the world. You mean this world? Yeah, this world. You mean like right now? Yeah, like right now. You mean with this president? Yeah, with this president. For God so loved the world. That's Pakistanis. That's Afghanis. It's all the Annies. Even little orphan Annie. It's been 3 weeks, Ronnie. For God so loved the world. Now, the question you and I need to answer is this. Do we love it? God loves it. Do we love it? The answer, I think, is this. Sometimes we love it so long as it's lovable. Well, the problem with that is that doesn't happen a lot. Oh, I love people as long as they're lovable. Well, that's easy. It's the unlovable that takes a little challenge, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is God's gift to the world. That's the gift that I hope that you've received. And it's the gift we need to be offering with our breath, with our words, and with our actions in a world that is in desperate need, unlike any other time in your life. Now, for some of our older saints, there were times back then, but I'm talking about like for me, this is it. This is one of the craziest, most uncertain times I've ever seen in my life. Because we have problems in our world, and Romans 3 tells us that we have another problem. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We usually wrestle with the word all. You know who all includes? All. For all have sinned, and you know what? And all do sin and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a problem. That is a non-pass grade. That is a miss heaven grade. That's a miss the peace of God in a world that's gone crazy grade. For all have sinned. The challenge you and I face is measuring our sin against someone else's sin. God says that's not the stick. The stick is the cross of Christ. It's not other people's sin that I need to measure up against. It's Christ. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. That's a problem. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Now, are we talking about physical death? It can be. But this is more specifically talking about a spiritual death. The death that lasts forever. The death that has us miss heaven for a place called hell. That's a terrible thing. And sometimes we can become so comfortable in our savedness, we forget about that. Because like I told you earlier, I'm as sure for heaven as if I'm standing there. But I want to do everything I can to help other people get prepared for it too. Because what God says, he means. But, oh, that's so good. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's it cost? Well, the truth is, it's going to cost you everything. But it's free. It's free. It's free to you, but it wasn't free for Jesus to give it to you. It cost him everything. And let me say this, we talked about it in our Sunday school class, and you hear it a lot, is to passionately and persistently pursue Christ, it will cost you everything. Some things you'll have to lay down. Other things you'll have to pick up. But when you walk close to the Lord, every part of your life will come under examination. The call to be saved, we are saved from something to something. Isn't that nice? It's not like the robocalls that we get. They want something for nothing. They want you to send them $10,000 so they can send you $20 million. But the relationship, we go from lost to saved. We go from enemy to friends. We have a relationship with the loving and living God. This relationship affords us three things. Quickly, help. Psalms 18 says this. In my distress, are we living in times of distress? Yes, we are. In my distress, I call upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. Now, there's a lot of people crying for help, but they're crying to the wrong place. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. The beautiful thing is when you cry for help to the living, loving God, and you have a relationship with him, he always, always hears and cares. Secondly, it affords us this, healing. Healing. Could you use a little healing today? As my body continues to heal, you have to be patient. You have to be patient and mindful. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. We're in a time of need of healing. I don't know about you, but the loss is a terrible thing. And the only healing, the only true healing, the only transformative healing comes from the Lord. No other place can we find the healing that the Lord can offer to us. And then thirdly, this relationship affords us hope. Is it easy to become hopeless? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we could be people of hope. You know why? Because we have a relationship with a holy living God. an unchanging God, the creator and the sustainer of everything that we know. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who hope in the Lord. Where does your hope lie? My friends, if it lies in the financial system, if it lies in the political system, if it relies in the medical system, there's not one avenue of hope the world can offer that can sustain what the world brings to it. Only the Lord can sustain us with hope. There was a memorial service last night down in Lone Oak for a dear friend of mine, Brian Gibson. I met Brian and Lori out at Dixon Baptist Church. Their kids were really young. And we grew to love one another and to serve alongside one another. And that relationship remained even when the Lord changed the station of service for my bride and I. And the last time I saw Brian, I was out having lunch, and it was getting, wasn't too far before my procedure. And he says, I want you to come by my office so I can pray over you. He said, promise me. And I had it on my list. But Brian fell ill before I could get by his office. My friends, the only hope in this world is Jesus. Because only he can give us hope and healing in days like these. And in that, once we come to know Christ, then we take a step of obedience in our baptism. Last Sunday, we had a baptismal service, and I want to share that with you now.
All right, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And that he lived a sinless life, died, was buried, and rose again?
Yes.
Do you believe that it's through him and him alone that you're saved from your sins?
Yes.
Your open profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in death and raised to newness of life. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Now we'll see. There we go. All right. Look. The second call is the call to remember. The call to remember. Yesterday was an important day, wasn't it? Do you remember? I remember as if it was yesterday. I remember all the weirdness. I remember fear. I remember wanting to do something. I didn't know what I could do, but I wanted to do something. I actually called the military recruiter to see if I was too old. I was. But a call to remember. Couldn't believe what I was seeing. Didn't make sense. It didn't compute. And we still remember today, 20 years later, that day and the surrounding circumstances. And the call to remember is a powerful one, and it has a great deal of purpose to it. A call to remember calls us to revisit the event and the emotions it sparked. I can't see pictures of the Twin Towers without having the emotions sparked about that day. And there's been other days, the Challenger disaster, I still remember that day. It calls us to consider the cause. Why did it happen? Well, we know. It calls us to make a conclusion. What do I do with it? Do you remember how different our nation was for a season 20 years ago? Church attendance went through the roof. And it went back down just as quickly. You know why? Because we don't stay scared too long. Why did it happen? What do I do with it? And then lastly, there's a call to action. What am I going to do? And so today we are going to be observing the ordinance of communion. Communion, in one of the ways, is as believers remember the Lord and his sacrifice for our sins. We have two ordinances, the ordinance of baptism, which you just witnessed, where we testify to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the communion. The cause is this: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What was the cause? Because we were lost. Jesus had to give himself that we might be found. We were the cause. Our lostness was the cause. Jesus didn't need to look for something to die for because we were the need. We were the cause. I was the cause. Our conclusion: but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Everything that I deserved was placed upon him. Past, present, and future. So was yours. And so here's my call to action. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. The call to action is to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And that's a lot harder than it sounds. But today, as we observe the ordinance of communion, we remember. We remember Christ's life. We remember Christ's atoning death. And we remember Christ's validating resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, that we can have a hope. Now, as we prepare to take the communion, there are two excluders that the Scripture gives us. The first is this: is if you have not personally trusted Christ as your Savior, my friend, just let this pass you by. No one will think differently of you. No one's going to ask you a weird question. But you can't take communion and testify to someone that you do not yet believe in. That is the definition of hypocrisy. Or secondly, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior and you are knowingly and willfully living in disobedience, you say, well, what does that look like? Well, if you can answer this question, I know what the Bible says, but that's problematic. And you need to reconsider that right now. Now, you can repent of that right now and be ready and able to take communion. But if you're not ready, then by all means, please allow it to pass you by. No one's going to look weird at you. No one's going to ask you a weird question. The Lord knows where we stand. He knows where our hearts are. And the Scripture gives us a very clear instruction that these are the reasons we should exclude ourselves for participation. And so with that being said, I'm going to invite our deacons to come as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. Now, this time, we're going to do it a little differently than we have in the past, is we are going to pass the elements out, and you're going to hold on to both of them, and we're going to take them simultaneously. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I thank you for this day, and Lord, I thank you for the privilege of sharing in this communion service. Lord, a physical connector to the saints throughout history. Father, a physical connector to the saints around our world today. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, beginning with ourselves, Lord, that we would make an honest examination of where we are with you. And Father, if there is sin that needs to be confessed, I pray that we would do that. If there's repentance that needs to be sought, I pray that we would do that. Father, I pray that you would help us to remember. To remember. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. very quickly, the third call, the call to be saved, the call to remember, and the call to serve is an important call. The work of the church, inside, outside, and around, is dependent upon those who are willing to serve. Acts 1:8 tells us this: you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's when you're born again, you're saved. And you shall be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The scripture calls us that when we are saved, we are called to serve. The call to serve is for everyone who claims the name of the Lord. Josh, you said that in the last couple of weeks. I can't remember exactly which one. But we're all called to serve. This call has both responsibilities and privileges. It is a privilege to be considered a part of God's kingdom and his kingdom work. But there's also a responsibility to it as well. And inside this ministry, there are three offices that the Bible lays out for us: the one of pastor, the one of elder, and the one of deacon. Now, the pastor and the elder can be a little bit interchangeable. Currently, we have myself, I'm the lead pastor, and Josh is the associate pastor. We have two elders, myself and Jeff, and we currently have seven deacons. And each of these have a job description, as it were. Let's look and see what it says. The saying is trustworthy: if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, or not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fail into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. So this is the job description, as it were. And we take it very seriously here. I take it very seriously as your pastor. And today we are recognizing our deacons and celebrating our deacons. Today is a day of transition for our deacon body. For longer than I've been here, there has been a process in our bylaws that allow our deacons to roll off into an inactive status. Why? Is it because we've just had enough of them? No, that's not it. It is an opportunity to rest, to refocus, and to perhaps serve in other avenues. And today we're going to recognize and honor three of our deacons that are rolling into that status. Now, I know the question you want to know is, does that mean they're not a deacon? No, they're not forfeiting the office of deacon. They're just not going to be responsible for the day-to-day responsibilities they have now. Now, we will hold them to the same high regard. They will still be much like our soldiers, our National Guard. When we call, we expect them to answer. And so today is a unique day and a day of celebration. Let me mention them to you. Of course, we remember our dear brother Tim, who went to be with the Lord. Miss him every day. And then our other six. Brother Bobby could not be here today. As you know, he is still recovering from COVID, and he is recovering better day by day. And out of an abundance of caution, they chose not to be here in person. But we love Bobby, and what a walking miracle Bobby is, and Tammy, and we love them. We have two others that will be taking a sabbatical, as it were. Our brother Jared Buck and our brother Scott. Now, Scott, did you and Scott come on at the same time? No, you're the senior deacon. Yeah, he's the OG. I believe I believe you were the part of the first deacons that we appointed when after the Lord allowed me to be here. And so we're very excited today for these men. They have been faithful to the call. They will remain faithful to the call. But we're looking forward to them to have an opportunity to rest, refocus, and perhaps invest themselves in some other ministries for a season. This will leave us with four active deacons. And we are beginning to prayerfully consider who we may be adding to that deacon body. So what we'd like to do, if I could just get the deacons to come up here, and Josh and Jeff, we'll do this and honor them. You guys can come up here with me. There we are. Yeah. And so Josh was very kind. We got each of our deacons that are rolling off a small gift from your church to say thank you. We love and appreciate you, and we hope that you'll enjoy this time, and we hope that you will be rejuvenated by this time. Do they weigh the same? I don't know. We may have weighed them based on years served. I don't know. It could be. And then for our four remaining deacons, we appreciate them. Now, does that mean that you can't come to Scott or Jared? No, they're here to serve. You know, so it's a little bit weird because we've not done it before. But it has an intention and it has a purpose, and we're excited to begin to offer this to our leadership because tired leaders need rest. And so we're very excited for this. Any words you want to say? Open mic. I know it's scary.
Man, I don't know. I've seen some great things happen with this church, and I'm just excited to see what it continues to bring. I always welcome y'all's accountability. And, it's been a blast. It's going to continue to be a blast, and I will use this time to rest and see what's on the agenda and keep moving forward.
Well, I think I did most of my deaconing before anybody asked me to be a deacon. You don't get the job unless you're doing the job. If you want to be faithful, be faithful. It's as simple as it gets. That's all I can tell anybody. That's all I tell you if you ask me.
Amen.
If you want to find God, go find him.
Amen. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for these men who give of their time, their talents, and their treasures. Father, they carry a load that most people don't even really recognize because so much of their ministry is done out of the limelight. And Father, we thank you for all of the men who have served here at ALF over the years. Father, we thank you that we have men who love you and are willing to lead in ministry. And Father, we pray for Jared and Scott, Lord. We pray for Brother Bobby, Lord, that this would be a wonderful time of refreshment. Father, we pray for our four men who remain on guard and on duty. Lord, give them wisdom and strength and courage. And Father, we pray even now for those men who it may be their time to step up, step out, and to serve in this capacity. Father, lead us to where you want us to be, that we might be about doing what you'd have us to do. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.